Good morning. Thank you. Welcome to First Baptist Church on this All Saints Sunday. We're so glad you're here. It's so good to be together. And we especially welcome those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a long time. Our worship is made richer by your presence here. And we invite all of you, whether you are our visitors or regular attenders, to take some time this morning to fill out the connection card in your bulletin. The first side you can go ahead and fill out now, and the other side you can take some time later in the service to reflect on and fill out, and then you can drop that in the offering plate when that comes by. We have many announcements related to our congregational life. You can read them in your bulletin insert. I'd like to highlight just a couple of those. One is that this afternoon we are all invited to a free concert that we partner in this series with our sister church, Northside Community Church. This afternoon's concert is held at their church, and it's a free concert. Beautiful music, and an opportunity also to make a donation. And tonight's concert's contributions go to Washtenaw Alive Suicide Prevention Coalition. So a very worthy cause and a particularly relevant cause in our community these days. So please come out for that. It's 5 o'clock this afternoon. I also want to let you know that next Sunday is going to be a really special Sunday. We're going to have a special guest, Dr. Laura Parajon, one of the directors of Amos Health and Hope, our mission partner in Nicaragua. She will be with us sharing about the incredibly important and exciting work that they are doing in Nicaragua and that we are doing with them as partners. And we will be celebrating together the 10th birthday of this organization that we were one of the founding partners of. Lots of fun to be had next Sunday morning, so I hope to see you in this same place at the same time next week. You can read the other announcements at your leisure. See what great love has been given to us, that we would be called the children of God. So come, let us be in the presence of that sacred love. Let us worship.
Please stand for the invocation and please pray with me. Dear God, thank you for this day of worship and your presence in this sanctuary. Help us to love you more deeply and to worship you more fully, both today and forever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God for the faithful who have gone before us, children of God who showed us the way.
Praise the generous, the joyous, the dedicated, for all who bless us with the witness of their love.
Praise for all who did justice and loved kindness and walked humbly with their God.
Mercy.
Praise to God for all who have lived in the light.
Thank you.
Good morning. As most of you probably know, I'm Bob Kidd, and I'm co-chairing with Marissa Alanese our financial stewardship campaign for 2018. This morning marks the close of the in-worship portion of the campaign. I have led or co-led the financial campaign for several years now. I can't in all honesty say I look forward to the campaign each year, but I always enjoy hearing from members about why they pledge their support of all kinds to FBC. This year we heard from Kevin and Zan Morgan and Theodora Danciu, and I'd like to thank them for their inspiring words of witness. Some of you may have seen an eConnection email that went out Friday. It contains some financial information that we have not previously announced. The Budget Committee has been meeting, and they have developed a draft budget that calls for a 3.2% increase in revenue for next year. Among the initiatives this additional revenue will support are our new staff position to help manage and care for our facilities, increased quality of our online presence through targeted search engine marketing, and increasing our mission support beyond our congregation, including such things as support for our local refugee family. So those are worthy initiatives that require some additional revenue for next year. So I hope you will keep this information in mind as you consider your pledge. If you've already pledged, thank you, and upward revisions are always welcome. The theme for this year's campaign is radical generosity. When Marissa introduced this theme in the service a few weeks ago and in the kickoff letter, she discussed some of the meanings of the word radical and suggested that it is time for us to reclaim radical as a positive word of change. I support that goal, but I think we have a long way to go. I've been listening for uses of the word radical in daily life, and I don't think I've heard it used in a positive context yet, except here in the service and in our letters, etc. So often when you hear the word radical, the word Islam follows. Sad. But I think radical does convey an intensity of commitment and a level of energy that I'm really beginning to feel here at First Baptist. Radicals don't hold loosely to their beliefs, and they don't give up easily. We're going to need that kind of determination, the kind of determination and perseverance conveyed by the word radical, to make a difference in our community, our country, and our world. But the life of Jesus is set before us as an example and a benchmark. I believe Jesus would have worn the label radical with pride and defiance, and I submit that we should too. As I mentioned, if you have already pledged, thank you. If you have not yet pledged, we hope you will consider doing so at your earliest convenience. Making a pledge of any amount increases the utility of your gift to the church by assisting in the financial planning process, which is still ongoing. And thank you all for your gifts to FBC of time, energy, and love as well. Finally, today we are celebrating our financial stewardship campaign with a cake during fellowship hour immediately following the service. I hope you will join us if you can for a piece of radical generosity cake. I'd like to close with a line we sometimes hear prayed in benediction. May God give us grace to risk something big for something good. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
On All Saints Sunday, it's our custom, as part of the prayers of the people, to name the beloved departed. Don't be fooled by the word saints. They don't have to have lived saintly lives according to conventional understanding. We simply name before God the people whom we have loved and who have gone on before us to the other shore. As part of the prayers, I will name those members of this church family who have passed since the last All Saints Sunday. And then there will be opportunity for you, if you wish, to name aloud anyone you would like to name. They do not have to have died within the last year. At any time, anyone, you are welcome to name aloud and as many as you would like. And it's okay if some people call out names at the same time. Let's pray together. Blessed are you, O God of creation and all beginnings, O God of redemption and all our endings, O God of our mothers and fathers and of our children to all generations. You hear our prayers before we even pray them, yet we are privileged to name them before you together. We pray for your human family everywhere that we may be made one. We pray for our world leaders that their work may be towards justice and towards peace. We pray for our nation that we may care for our poor, our homeless, our hungry, and our most vulnerable. We pray for those who suffer from any grief or trouble, that they may be delivered from their distress. We pray for your good earth. We pray for the will to care for it. We especially pray this morning for Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Peter Mortensen, Wally Jordan, Dottie Kassler, for Robert, Dana Rogers, Will Healy, Roman Ford. We pray for the Jones family, for John Wallace, Kim and Jason Weaver, Jim Terrace, Ed and Marilyn Marsh, for Jim Johnson, for Sandy Nichols, for Mike, Barb, and Bob, for Caroline, for Ava and Ray Goff, for the family of Diane Stevens. And we pray prayers of gratitude for Grandpa Stravers on his 90th birthday. O God of both the living and the dead, we praise you and we give you thanks for the many people you have given us to love and to learn from. We pray especially now for those in this church family who have departed from this life. We remember before you Betsy Willis, Ellie Grapentine, John Moyer, Jerry Reese, Jenny McKeachy. And we also remember with gratitude others whom we name before you now.
Joe Hobbs, that's all.
Johnson. God, thank you for the work of your healing love in our lives. Thank you for hope. Thank you for a community of hope. And thank you for the mighty witness of those who have gone before us. We pray that, encouraged by their example and strengthened by their fellowship, we may run with endurance the race that is set before us. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You how to tie your shoe? If you know how to tie your shoe, who taught you how to tie your shoe?
My grandpa.
Your grandpa. Good. Who taught you how to tie your shoe?
Self.
What about you, Avery?
My mom.
Who do you think taught your mom and your grandpa how to tie their shoe?
Their mom.
Oh, maybe their mom. And who do you think taught their mom how to tie their shoe? Maybe their mom and dad. Maybe their grandpa. Yeah. Okay, I've got another question for you. Who taught you how to love? Who taught you what love is like?
God.
Myself.
Yourself. You experience love.
Kindergarten teachers.
Your kindergarten teachers. Okay. Asher, who are you thinking about?
Teachers.
Teacher
and mom and dad.
Who do you think taught your teachers and your moms and dads how to love? Who do you think taught them? Their moms and dads, maybe. Maybe God taught them. Maybe somebody at church who's like a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa. Today we're remembering people who have gone before us, who have been on the journey, who have taught us things like maybe tying our shoes, but how to love, how to pray, how to care for those who have less than we do. The people who have gone before us, we're celebrating them today. You just heard all those names prayed for. One of the things we've been also talking about is our choice for how to be stewards this year. And so we gave out pledge cards last week, and we made promises. I pledge to do things that help us continue on the pathway. So some of us have them here this morning, and some of us will finish them up later and turn them in later, but let's put them in this basket. Can you put your offerings to God in this basket? That God has blessed you with things, and we offer these back to God. Good. This is our way of staying on the path. Staying on the path that those who have gone before us have shown us the way. Will you pray with me? Can you put your hands out like a path in front of you? Can you do that?
Put your hands out like this path.
Good. And will you repeat after me? Dear God, we thank you for those who have gone before us. Help us stay on the path. We promise to be good stewards of all you have given us. Amen.
We listen now to a word from the New Testament book known as Hebrews. Since then we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also then lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord. If you have lately been weighed down by discouragement or been under a cloud of anxiety or some other kind of sadness has overtaken your life and reduced you to dullness, and it's hard to care and hard to have a lot of hope, then may I suggest an exercise? Why not make a list of all the people you can think of who have helped you or inspired you on your way? The ones who taught you well, who set you a wonderful example, who encouraged you, who moved you, who played some part in making you who you are now for the good. This exercise may take a while, as it would have to be more than making a list of names. We would have to see their faces and linger for a while, recall stories, words, feelings, consider the gifts they gave to us, contemplate their impact still on us, and breathe our thanks for them. There would be sadness in it, because so many of them are gone. Some of them gone for a long time now. Give special thought to those, the dead who stand on that other shore and in a truer light. You knew some of them personally. Others you watched from more of a distance. But now cast your thoughts back over generations and centuries to those who bore their witness long ago. And from long ago, their light still shines, inspires you, and has impact on who you are. Their steadfast devotion, sacrifice, irrepressible joy, passion for what is right, the power of what they gave, how their lives made such music, and how even now, from this distance, they still shine. Think of all of them that you can, from the present and from the past, who have made a beautiful difference in the world for which you are thankful. And at the top of that list, write the word, saints. Those are your saints. And my list overlaps with yours, as is the case all over this room. Think of how many of them we can name. None of them perfect. They are all sinners just like the rest of us. And some of them half crazy. I heard a preacher say, in every saint there's a whole lot of ain't. And all of them struggled against their own impediments and against the evils of their time. But they soldiered on, picked themselves up from their failures, endured their hardships, kept faith, bore witness, gave all that was theirs to give, and even though dead, are somehow still giving. The power of their devotion still pulses in us if we let it. And if we'll have them, the courage and the consolations of their witness, our companions on our way, even now. For you and me to believe that we are alone in our present fight is a failure of memory. It's a failure of imagination. There is a vision and guidance and courage and hope to be had in the deathless legacy of the great ones who have gone before us. Maya Angelou said, "When great souls die, our senses whisper to us they existed. And we can be and be better because they existed." God, deliver us from the illusion of our separateness from them. The book of Hebrews gives us a fantastic image for all of this. It shows a procession of men and women of faith through the centuries. Starts with Abraham and Sarah, who all their lives pressed forward believing and then had a baby in their 90s and named him Laughter. What else? And then other women and men are described after that who by faith endured much and gave much and achieved much and kept pressing toward the promise of God, greeting it from afar. Then suddenly the scene changes. And now it's about us, and the walls around us vanish. And we see that we are standing in an enormous stadium, that the stands are filled with people who are looking down to where we stand on the field. We see we are standing on a starting line. We realize this is our race. There is the course stretching ahead of us. It is filled with hazards and hurdles, and it is as long as life. Our Bibles call it a race, but the original word is agon, the root of our word agony. Our course is demanding. And so the text says it takes perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. God will make no miracle to get us from where we are to where we need to be. Those of us who are living must endure and press on. And so we'd better throw off what is holding us back. If the course is hard, how absurd to carry big piles of baggage with us. So the text adds, let us then lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. Of course. And what is that baggage? I've got mine, you name yours. Maybe our pridefulness, maybe our fear, our jealousies, our resentments, maybe all that other stuff we've been clinging to that really ought to be let go of. The poet Robert Bly says that when we are young, we all have a little anxiety bag on our belts, and every time something threatens us, we slip it into that bag, and by the time most of us are 50, the bag is 100 yards long, getting stuck in elevator doors as we drag it behind us. The same can be said, of course, of any institution, of any family, of any church. But faith means pushing ahead, which means getting free of something in our past and still holding us back in the present We do this together. We run our race together. We lighten up and move forward together. That is what makes the race doable, and it's what makes it fun. It's the companions with us that are half of the good news, for in them is the living Christ. Do you know why mountain climbers tie themselves to each other? It's so the sane ones won't go home. Let's be crazy too. And it's not just us. It's not just us. Take a good look into the stands and see who has come to cheer for us. They're all there. All the women and men and young people who ran this race before us. They're called the great cloud of witnesses. They are countless and they are beautiful. Every human color and all of them standing, luminous. Look, there is old Sarah and Abraham laughing and waving diapers. There's Moses with his stick shouting, "Don't murmur, move." There's David with his harp like an electric guitar. Peter waving his fishing net, Martha waving her apron, and Peter and Mary Magdalene herself, radiant. There's Francis of Assisi with a bird on his shoulder, and Martin Luther raising his beer stein, and John Calvin cheering decently and in order. And there is George Herbert and J.S. Bach and Mozart and Sojourner Truth and Harriet Tubman and C.S. Lewis lifting his pipe. There's Jalaluddin Rumi. There's Gandhi and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Joshua Heschel, Dorothy Day, Nelson Mandela, Oscar Romero. I see my father there. And my brother, whom do you see? Grandparents, parents, teachers, mentors, friends, heroes, all finished with their race and all on their feet to cheer us on. And someone else is in that stadium. He stands above the finish line, his face fierce with joy, still shining with the sweat of the race he ran, his arms open wide, and he shouts two words, and the whole crowd takes them up in reply. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. It is all right that we cannot see the whole way ahead. It is all right that there is some struggle in it. It is all right that not everybody goes with us. Look to the cloud of witnesses. Look who is around us. Look who is before us. Take heart at who is coming with us. How can we not press on with endurance in the race that is set before us, for the sake of our freedom, for the sake of going home, for the sake of our joy? We have gifts to give. We have commitments to make. We have lives to offer anew. Let us worship through our gifts.
Christ invites everyone to this table, and we do not come to it alone. We come with each other. We come with God's people all over this world. We come, too, with those people on another shore who are themselves now at the great table, at the heavenly feast. They are with us at God's table. Now we get just a taste of what they enjoy in full. But for now, for us, it is enough. It will sustain us. Christ invites everyone to this table. Let us make ourselves ready. We confess our sins now before God and one another. We pray together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Will you stand? As beloved and forgiven and reconciled children of God, let us offer one another signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you. Let us pray together in the words Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to our God, parent of us all, creator of heaven and earth. God is God of creation and all beginnings, God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and God of Joseph, God of apostles and martyrs, of our mothers and fathers, of our children to all generations. And so, with God's people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise God's name and join their unending hymn. Holy is God. And blessed is God's Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to the church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and by the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you. the body of Christ, the bread of heaven.
In the same way, after the meal, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us pray. O God, pour out your Spirit now on us who were gathered here. Make us one with each other and one with Christ and one in mission throughout the world. Until that day that shall come for us all when we are joined with Christ in the heavenly banquet. All glory be yours. All glory be exercised through us in your mission for the world. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Offering plates at the door are for the church's fellowship fund. These are funds used to give assistance to those who come our way in material need. If we have more than enough, let us share with those who have too little. Will you stand for the hymn of fellowship?